Good evening. As you guys know, that I am not Bill. He had me to step in for him. I know everyone's like, man, it's Steve. But that's okay. God has a message for you guys, and I know you'll be blessed. Let's go ahead and pray. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here to hear from your word. And, Lord, as we worship you, I pray, Lord, that we would just enter into that place as you prepare our heart to receive your word. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen. Amen.
So Bill said I had freedom, so I'm going to put a little twist and turns in here. Of course, I am not Bill. He asked me to teach. He's on honeymoon, but he's not. anniversary. Bill asked me to teach last Sunday, and he wanted also for me to give a little bit of my testimony before I get into the word, because some of you guys know me, some of you guys don't. Some of you guys have heard of me. Some of you guys have heard part of my testimonies. I don't always give it. Sometimes it's incorporated in the word. But what I like to do just start off is, first and foremost, when you give, I don't really like saying testimonies, but when you give your story, it's his story through your life. It's what God is doing. Paul was very careful about that when he wrote his letters. But if you looked at his letters, he shared a lot of his testimonies on the stuff that he's went through for the Lord. He's not boasting in himself. He's boasting in the Lord, and that's okay. Because what God has done in your life, that is a great story. He has redeemed you, he has forgiven you, and guess what? You have eternal life. And that's the most important thing, that one day we're going to be out of this huge mess and be with him. But while we're waiting, we got a job to do, guys. We do have responsibilities as the family, as the body of Christ. So real quick, again, my name is Steve Jewell. I'm the youth pastor. I've been at this church for 16 years, believe it or not. My son over there in the red shirt, my wife was pregnant with him when we started here. Came here from a Baptist church, believe it or not. That's where my wife grew up, and they split. I was a new Christian, so I was just knocked off my rocker. I didn't understand all the logistics and the politics at the time, and it really hurt me and kind of damaged me. I had a Calvary background because I got saved at the 94 Harvest over here with Greg Laurie. So I'm a Harvest baby, and praise God for that. I'm a big supporter. But while we're going to the Baptist church, I was sneaking off and going to Calvary Chapel Downey here in Jeff Johnson. So I was getting like fed there too. So, and I really love the way that Calvary emphasizes on the Word of God. Precept upon precept, verse by verse. That is most important, guys, to know the Word of God. To know the Word of God, you'll know Jesus. To fall in love with the Word of God, you're going to fall in love with Jesus. Because what does he refer to? As the Word of God. We need to understand that. So we moved out to Orange County, started managing an apartment complex that was there for over 12 years. And I came here, met Mark, told him what happened. And he looked at me, he goes, I don't want you to do nothing. I want you to sit here for 6 months and heal. Because I was already in ministry. I was helping out with youth. As soon as I got saved, boom. I'm the kind of person that has to be doing something. Because if I'm not doing something good, I'm doing something bad. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I have an addictive personality. I got to be doing something. So I'm doing it for the Lord. My first ministry I was involved with was a wheelchair ministry. I was in a men's home for almost a year out in downtown LA by Echo Park. You guys know where that's at. Not the greatest neighborhood. So what I would do, they gave me one of those little white buses. They put wheelchairs in, and I went all over L.A. County and picked up young gangbangers that got shot. And they're paraplegics now. So I'd bring them to church. And most of them were young, from teenagers to young adults. And I just developed such a heart for them. So I was there for about 8 months, driving a bus. This is back when you didn't have GPSs or the smartphones. This is when you had something called what? A Thomas Guide. You guys know what I'm talking about. They had no clue. Not a clue. So what's interesting is my brother was the head of that ministry, and this girl was a friend of them for a long time, and I didn't want to have anything to do with my old lifestyle. I grew up in the 80s. I started doing drugs. I basically was introduced to drugs when I was 8 years old. Got hooked by the time I was 12 until I was 24. Pretty much didn't skip a beat. So I was, you name it, I pretty much did it. I had to go to jail. God took everything away from me. I've been married before. I have a 24-year-old daughter. What's interesting with this whole law thing going on, it kind of hits home a little bit because my ex-wife now is a lesbian. Yeah, crazy stuff, man. So I understand all the dynamics of everything that's happening, but it's still wrong. And I'll get into that a little bit. I'll get on my soapbox in a minute about that. But so God basically had to throw my keister in jail, took everything away from me. I had nowhere to go. I was the kind of person, if I'm in trouble, I'm just going to deal with it. So when I went to go see the judge, I'm like, I did this, so I'm going to deal with it. So I went in there. No one knew I was there. All of a sudden, I looked, and my mom and my dad were sitting in the back. Someone told them I was in jail. Praise God, because if they weren't there, the judge was going to just give me everything. He was going to make an example of me. I was toast. But since he's seen my family, for some reason, God showed favor to him. And what's funny, guess what the name of the judge was? Judge Lord. No lie. I'm not making this up. I don't know if he was saved or not, but I take it. You know what I'm saying? So basically, I got off. They let me. I go with my family. I put them through hell on earth, so to speak. They brought me. They said, we'll feed you, but then you need to go. You can't stay here. Because they don't trust me. I didn't blame them at the time because I really burned a lot of bridges. My brother was in ministry, and he basically was on the answering machine. He goes, hey, jailbird, if you want to change your life, give me a call. And I did, and that's how I got to the men's home out in L.A. So now getting back on track, doing the wheelchair ministry, and my brother put this girl that's a friend of the family in my bus, and I didn't want anything to distract me. I'm like, okay, whatever, just read the map and let's go get these people. Well, this girl ended up falling in love with me, and now she is my wife, and we just celebrated our 19 years. Praise God. Guys, God is good. He's amazing. He is the God of restoration. He restores. He forgives. But you got to submit everything. I am a completely different person, not from anything I could ever do, because the only person that can change me was God. You know, Alex out there that serves with me, some of you guys know or heard about his testimony. You know, it's not about us. It's what God's done in our lives. He took wretched people, and we're all wretched, and he made something beautiful out of it. And God looks at us, his love is beyond our comprehension, it really is. You know, we get the glimpse of what he did on the cross and what we read, but it's beyond anything. His love is unconditional. But guess what? He wants us to love like that too. And the only way we can do that is we let go and surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of God that works in you and through you as you allow him to do what he wants you to do. So after all that, I got married, we moved out here, we came here, I started getting involved with the youth back there, and at that time was Pastor Mark's son, Josh, as you guys, some of you guys know who that is. So I was with him for 8 months, and then after that, Abe took over, so I was with him for 6 years, and then the Lord graciously passed the baton on to me. It's been a wild and crazy ride since I've been doing this. I've had asthma all my life. I was diagnosed when I was 4 years old with asthma. It just got worse and worse. When I was doing the stupid drug thing, it didn't seem like dormant for a while. It didn't really be an issue, but as soon as I got saved, it kind of came back. In 2007 or 8, when did Obama get elected?
8.
2008, the apartment complex that I used to manage, I was kind of phasing out of that, but I was training up the new manager. So we were putting in a range, a stove. And the rule of thumb, the stove is against the wall, you pull it out, you turn off the gas, and then you do your thing. Well, I pulled it out, I bent over like this, touched the valve, it broke. All of a sudden the gas came out, hit the pilot, I was engulfed in flames. Praise God, I had burns, I have no scars. The fire guy said, you know what, if I would have breathed it, it would have burnt my lungs, I would have been dead instantly. But since then, my lungs have not been the same. So I've been checked and checked and double checked. It's inconclusive, but they said it probably exasperated it. You know, it kind of triggered some other stuff. So now I'm labeled with COPD. Some of you guys are familiar with that, some of you guys aren't. In the last 4 years, I'm sick all the time. You know, God graciously brought me here because he knew this is where I need to be so I can maintain a job. Because Pastor Mark and Bill and you guys are so gracious and loving and pray for me. And don't look at me not being here with my infirmities, but still know that I'm called to be here to preach God's word and for these guys. You know, for that, you know, I get kind of emotional because you don't find that a lot of places. Sometimes I'm at home in turmoil because I feel guilty when I'm not here. And Pastor Mark rebukes me for that. And some of you guys have done it also. Thank you. But it's been almost a little over 2 months now that I have not really had an episode. And this is not right, but I'll take it. I have not done anything different. I'm taking my maintenance medicine, blah, blah, blah. But God, I believe it's completely Him that has healed me for a season. And long as He wants, I'm cool with that. But since then, God knew He needed to get me healthy because then I had to go through some other trials. My dad passed away just all of a sudden about 4 weeks ago. He came out for his brother's funeral, and then he came out to visit us. I went into the hospital for hernia surgery on a Friday. He went Friday night. It was all day. Saturday, he had a heart attack. And then by Sunday morning, 12:30, 4 a.m., he passed away. He knew the Lord. I look back now. My dad, since he was so passive and such a nice guy, he was saved when in Sunday school, you know, gone through the motions. My brother was the first one to get saved out of the family. When my brother got saved, my dad rededicated his life. And now, it's, you know, I don't regret it, but now since he's gone, the Lord just kind of opened my eyes. Showed me how much my dad was a reflection of Christ. I'm not just saying that he was my dad. If any of you guys, my son is probably the only one who can testify, but God bless you. Knew my dad, you could see that. And at the memorial service, you know, I shared, I actually did my dad's service, by the way. I know that was stupid. Very emotional, it was hard. But I shared that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, my dad had those. But I didn't realize until he was gone. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just kind of like the light just shines, like, wow, now I know my dad was the nicest guy. You would stab him in the back, and guess what? He'd give you another knife. Serious. You know, he went through a horrible divorce after 18 years from not my first mom, but my second mom. And guess what? He still loves her. He still loved her and forgave her, but it just wasn't in the cards for them to be together anymore. The reason why I'm sharing this is God is the God of restoration. He's the one that fixes broken people. And as you guys submit to Him and really look to Him, He will transform your life. But you got to allow Him to do so. You know, as you guys know now, I'm not doing prophecy update. I'm not Bill. That's big shoes to fill, man. But the message that I'm going to give you guys is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you guys want to turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, last chapter of 2 Timothy. Guys, I want to encourage you. Who is here or heard of when we came out and did the cardboard testimony? Everybody, anybody? That was very powerful. I was one of those guys, and you know, it's funny as I look at other people's testimony, I'm like, man, mine's no big deal. But you know what? Some people say, well, I don't have a testimony. Everybody has a testimony. My wife is completely opposite of me. She never drank, smoked, or cussed. And I'm not lying. Me? I did everything plus. We're like oil and water, you know what I'm saying? But she has a testimony. She is a sinner just like me, needing a Savior. So everybody has a story. And if God prompts you to share your story, then share your story. Because it can bring like-minded people that you're going to encourage them and show them, hey, look what God has done in your life. You know, you look at the book of 2 Corinthians, you know, and Paul just, you know what, he didn't want to do it. All the false teachers are there. We're basically saying he's a false apostle. He's bogus, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? The proof is in my life for the Lord. The things that I go through is my proof of my ministry. And guys, just if you're not up here teaching, preaching, or getting paid from a church, your life is your ministry. You understand that. Wherever you go, you are a walking testimony, a walking, living epistle. What's epistle? It's a letter. You're God's letter. He's writing on you for other people to see as He transforms you. When I was at the Baptist church serving with the youth, I was the kind of person, when you do something stupid, you beat yourself up. Yeah, don't do that. That's not of God. That's of the devil. But the youth pastor came up to me and he shared a verse. And this is these are my life verses. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your life as a living sacrifice. Guys, every day we need to get up and present our lives to Him. He was that living sacrifice. He became the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. And it says, you know what? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it talks about this is our reasonable service. He's given us so much, it's very reasonable that we would do this each and every day. But how many times do we lack this because we get lazy or we get distracted or trial hits instead of focusing on the Lord and looking for the solution, we become more of the problem. Amen? Guys, we make it more complicated than it has to be. We really do. You know, and I love 1st, 2nd, Timothy and Titus. Those are called pastor epistles, okay? And these are written for these guys who are going to pastor in church and how the church needs to be set in order and ran. So if you guys have any questions about how the church should be, what's the best place to go for answers? And why don't we? And point back at me. How many times do we lean on our own understanding or come up with our own opinions? Guys, what's happening right here, the whole theme of 2 Timothy is pretty much Paul exhorting Timothy and the commitment of ministry. But guys, let's take it one step further. The commitment that we need to live for the Lord no matter what ministry or where our lives are at. Okay? And in lieu of what's going on in this world, that it's, you know what, it's going to get worse before it gets better. You know, I was not shocked of what happened. I knew it was going to happen. I didn't want it to happen, but I knew it was going to happen. Because it's the world we live in. You know, with the ruin. You guys know what I'm talking about with the homosexuals. You know, that now it's I don't know all the details, so if you guys know more than me, shout it out. But now they're legal to get married and all the rights, right? Huh? Well, yeah. Now, in lieu of that, what should we be doing?
Praying.
But there's a lot. Yes, praying is a key. But I tell you right now, there's so much more we can do where God individually has you and your relationship with Him and what He wants you to do and where He's placed you. God is the master at placing people where they need to be. Wherever you're at, it's not by chance and not by luck. It's God's anointing. Is predestined for you to be where you're at. So we need to be busy. We are not saved by works. We don't do it for salvation. If you're saved, guess what? You already have salvation. But if you have true faith, what does it produce? It produces true works. Talks about that in James. But guys, we need to be busy. Now, this is at the table. Are we going to complain about it? Are we going to have our little opinions about it? Opinions are not always wrong, but sometimes our opinions can get in the way and cause more problems, right? Tell you right now, let's stop with the opinions and keep it about the Word of God. But guys, we need to do it in love. I minister to kids all the time. And tell you right now, one thing that I hear, they'll listen to you if you're real. You need to show people love. When you show them true love, even if they're in sin, it does do things. God's planting those seeds. We don't condone people's sin, but I'll tell you right now, we need to love them through it and ask God to help us to love them out of it. Amen? We need to be His hands and feet. We need to be His church. And what Paul is charging Timothy here in the lieu of the Lord's return, he's telling him, okay, the commitment that you made and what you're doing for a living, you need to preach the word. But it needs to not just come out of your mouth, it needs to come out of your life. Yesterday, you know, with everything on my phone's been blowing up with different kids and young adults asking me all these different questions of what's going down and what I think and blah, blah, blah about this ruling. And someone read an article, and I know you were here when I was talking to Pastor Mark, that now pedophilia, they want the same rights. Yeah, it's disgusting, but I wasn't shocked. Guys, Sodom and Gomorrah. The time of Noah, we're back. And I tell you right now, like he said, God's not going to put up with this for much longer. He's coming back for His church. We've crossed that line way too much. And now this just opened a door for all this other crazy stuff. Man, and I'm in the trenches of where this stuff bursts, in a sense, with young adults, youth, and all this other stuff. It's crazy out there. This generation is crazy. Back in, you know, I'm 43, so I'm getting closer to some of you guys. I'm like in the club now. But back when I was growing up, they talked about something that it's in the closet. There ain't no closet no more. It's been burned down. Everything's acceptable. And now the kids are confused. Just because if they have feminine traits, or they, you know, may have someone in their family that claims to be gay, they must be gay. That's the lie from the pit of hell. And guys, we need to combat that, of course, with the Word of God, but with love. God is love. Love will penetrate through sin. But each of us need to seek the Lord for the wisdom on how to love these people and the certain situations He puts us in. Because I'll tell you right now, some of the people who say that, you know what, the church is so hypocritical and haters, I'll tell you now, some of them are true. I hear some Christians, and even some of the Christians, their little comments about just what happens, like, relax. Who's in control? God's still in control. He's still on the throne. He knows what's happening. He's not deaf and dumb to it. So we need to follow His lead and what's the next step. Because before He comes back, what does the Bible say? And I think in 2 Peter chapter 3, He doesn't want anyone to perish. Everyone have eternal life. We're waiting. And while we're waiting, we need to be busy. Paul the Apostle says that we need to be ambassadors, that we need to implement the ministry of reconciliation. But guys, when people see a regular person that makes mistakes, but they see the Lord, they see a reflection of Christ in their lives, it does magnitude to people. When you guys are shining as we're supposed to, it is making a difference, even though you may not see it at times. Okay, so now I promise we'll read some scripture. I quote a couple. So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in the context of this, Paul is, you know, reaching his time of death. So he's exhorting Timothy right here. And it says in verse 1, I charge you, therefore, before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Well, guys, again, this is Paul's final testimony, his farewell to Timothy. And Christ is coming. Guys, the next event that we believe, and this is kind of the Calvary stance too, is before all hell breaks loose, God's going to take us out. The rapture. But we're going to be caught up, and then the tribulation time. And after the tribulation time, the second coming, where we come back and take care of business. When Jesus comes back and the church comes back with Him. But while we're waiting for the rapture, for the Lord to take us out, are you being part of the solution or adding to part of the problem on our actions and our behaviors? We all have bad days. I have very strong opinions about stuff, but the Lord's really ingrained in my head a phrase, bite your tongue. Serious. You know, I'm kind of high strung, and, you know, and again, I'm very opinionated, but I get in the flesh. You know, trust me. You know, teenagers, they're not always, no offense, guys, I love you, but they're hard to deal with. There's something called, and when I start with the D, it's called drama. Some of you guys all, praise God, I know, my kids are gone, my grandkids are gone, I don't have to deal with that no more. But I tell you right now, I know why God puts certain people where they need to be. Because first it's humbling, then it teaches me on how to do my part in my calling in my life. So where God has placed you, and even if He puts some crazy person in your life, it's for a season to be that spiritual sandpaper or that person that God wants you to see them the way He does. That's my biggest thing that I teach these guys. You need to start looking at people the way Christ does. He loves them, but He does not love their sin. But He died for them. So I'll tell you now, if God is the God of the universe and did all these things for us, don't you think if you allow Him to and be patient along with the long suffering, that He'll give you the wisdom to reach the people? No matter what, it's the Holy Spirit's job for people to get saved, right? We're just the seed planters. If God wants to hook us up, bring people in, you know, wrap up the deal, then praise God. But we need to be sharing God's word tactfully and efficiently. But you need to know God's word. So if you guys sit under Bill, you guys pretty much know God's word. But it's one thing knowing it. But if it's not connected to here, it's worthless. Knowledge puffs up, the love edifies. The knowledge needs to be connected to your heart. It has to be that balance. Because I tell you now, that's where the love comes from. I know so many people are so knowledgeable about the Word of God, but they are so arrogant. They are so, you know what I mean, prideful. It hasn't connected here yet. So I tell you now, knowing the Word of God and knowing what God has done for me and what He's put me is very humbling. It's very humbling that the God of the universe loves me. That trips me out. But I receive it and I believe it. But in lieu of this, what Paul's saying in context, that Timothy, also this is for us, we must know our task and be faithful to do it. I always hear, because I hang out with these guys, I don't know what the will of the Lord is. Am I in the will of the Lord? Guys, stop thinking so much and just sit before Him and read His Word and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. We overthink everything, and that gets in the way. Then we make things complicated. God's really not that complicated. You know, salvation is easy, right? You're saved by grace through faith. But now the process, the sanctification process, that's the issue. That's the hard part, because now we're being transformed to be Christ-like. And right now, as some of you guys know, we go through trials. Right now, we're in the book of Deuteronomy. We're almost done with it. What's the major theme? Raise your hand, you scholars out there. What is the major theme? And it could be said in one word. What is it? Huh? Nope. That's Leviticus. The major theme. I'm not talking about what's in there, because it's a lot of repetition from the law, because basically he's reminding them, renewing the second generation. It's reminding them, but what's I keep it very simple. Starts with an O. Obedience. Screams obedience over and over. He shows them by their mistakes. 40 years. How long should it have took them? 11 and a half to 12 days. But because they freaked out and didn't do it God's way, Moses sent out the spies and they freaked out. Instead of conquering, they didn't do it. So guess what? They brought a curse upon them and they wanted it for 40 years. First generation from Egypt died off. Now all the newbies. That's why he had to reinitiate all the laws and stuff. He had to inform them before, and they were, most of it was when they were there, right here, before they crossed the Jordan into Canaan. God's reminding us of who He is and how amazing He is. But guys, we need to be obedient and content where God has you, and then do everything each and every day for Him. Seize every moment. You know what I mean? Like, how many here in this room has ever lost a loved one? How many that you would like to rewind the clock and do things a little bit different? Well, we miss moments because we get so distracted. We're so busy. We're all about me. When we keep it about the Lord, then guess what? We have those Holy Spirit eyeballs and we see opportunities. We see these things the way the Lord wants us. And guys, we must know and be faithful to the task at hand. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, again written by the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 9. Then the chapter starts out with the assurance of salvation. I already quoted some of this stuff. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, or chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, let's read. Therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, be well-pleasing to Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, I got that, but we are well known to God, but we also trust and are well known in our consciences. So what Paul's saying right here, guys, we have been forgiven of our sin, but we are going to be judged for the things we are or not doing for the Lord, and that's when we receive our crowns and so on and so forth. You guys know about this stuff. I don't want to squeak in to heaven. I don't want to be like smoke coming off my rear and barely making it in. Because it talks about it in Matthew, like a guy just running out of the house and burning up everything. And I don't want to be ashamed I don't want to be caught doing something stupid when the Lord comes back. What I want to hear is good, well done, good and faithful servant. And I want to have a huge honking crown, so guess what? I can throw it back. That's our attitude. Our attitude should be severe gratefulness for God not giving up on us. That he humbled himself as a man, the Bible talks about in Philippians chapter 2, to the point of death. Why? Because he loves us. And guess what? These people we're getting frustrated with, that we may even look at in disgust, God died for them too. They just need to receive him. What are we doing about it? Sometimes it's just to sit and pray. But when God opens a door, we need to move. When the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, what do? You do it. But you need to listen. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, you need to respond. One of the biggest things that I love right here in context is Paul is really exhorting Timothy to be a godly pastor. In the midst of all these things, stay focused. Be an example to the flock and to the people around you. Go ahead and turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. Starting with verse 28, I believe. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 and 29.
Let's make sure I have that right.
1 John 2, 28, yeah. I'm famous for giving you guys the wrong scriptures. Yeah, the youth laugh because they know. And now, verse 28, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. And it goes on, the contrast of who is and who isn't. You know, I deal with kids all the time with a lot of doubt if they're saved or not. And I keep it simple. You know, and Pastor Chuck, you know, I've learned this from him. You know, and there's more to it, but at the same time is abide in me. You guys remember John chapter 15 with the vine and the branches? Guys, these stories are for us so we can have that assurance of salvation, that confidence, that we don't always have to doubt if we're saved or not because we mess up. So I remember when I first got saved, man, every time they gave an altar call, boom, I was there. Because I mess up daily. But newsflash, us Christians, you guys know that we sin. Probably sin today on the way to church by getting ticked off someone driving to church. I don't know what it is. Lately, I've never had a problem with it. I don't need any comments from you guys. But driving, I get just so overly irritated lately. It's like, and I don't do bad things or cuss, but I'm like, really? Really? And my son goes, Dad, they can't hear you. And I'm getting frustrated. But you know what? You don't know what that person is. Maybe they're late for work, or maybe they're going through something. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? We need to show grace. I mean, yes, some people shouldn't drive, but that's the Lord's business. You know what I'm saying? But guys, what I love about it right here, the Bible says that, it says, be holy for I am holy. What does that mean? Well, we're not going to be perfect until we go home, but what we're doing, we're being perfected each and every day with the sanctification process. God's divine nature in us. But we need to be about his business. I don't want to be ashamed at his coming as his child. You understand what I'm saying? So if there's things, and you know what? It's all age groups. It's called secret sin. That you have something that's wrong and nobody knows about it but you and God. Deal with it. Deal with it and get it out of your life because it's hindering your relationship with him. If you're struggling with it, keep putting it on the altar. Keep putting it on the altar. And he promises he will take it from you. You'll go through the ringer sometimes. You'll go through your trials. But what are trials for? To help us grow. And I shared this today in Romans chapter 5. It talks about since we've been justified by faith, we will go through trials. But what does it produce? perseverance, character, and character, hope. Guys, everything we need is right here. But I don't care if you read the Bible cover to cover 1,000 times. Read it every day. Read it every day. God wants to speak to you and give you wisdom and insight. And the Lord's will is just to bless you and bless you and bless you. But even as you go through hard times, and even like, okay, even when you're not being disobedient, you're being obedient, you still go through hard times, right? You can be doing everything right, so to speak. I don't know if that's possible. But, and you're still, you know, getting this trial. It's like, well, what's this? You have to have the right attitude. Yeah, you can get ticked off, get all mad, make it about yourself and make the situation worse, or look at the end of the rainbow, so to speak, for God's blessing as you stay focused on Him. Because He's allowing it to happen for whatever reason in your life. To keep you humble, to help you grow, it's the testing of our faith. And it burns off the impurities. It starts burning off all the garbage. You know what it talks about in the Bible? Circumcision that was implemented between God and Abraham. But now, in the New Testament, we need the circumcision of the heart. You guys understand that? Because our heart is deceitfully wicked among all things the Bible talks about. But I tell you right now, we live in a world that we see nothing but filthiness. Do you think that's not going to affect you? Of course it is. That's why, in the second part of my life verse, that we need to be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. And then God's going to go in there through His Word and through the power of His Holy Spirit and start doing that spiritual surgery on your heart. Each and every day pulling out the garbage, all the junk and the muck and all that other stuff. And He's replacing it. But then, the next day, or right before you meet me, I'm 24/7. Because I know how interesting I am. I need more surgery. I need more surgery. I'm always on the table. Lord, just keep going. Because I know I'm not in denial of my personality and how I am. God made you the way you are. So don't be in denial about it. Accept it, receive it, and let Him work in you. It's as simple as that. And what I love about 1 and 2 Timothy is Timothy was very reluctant. He was very timid. He didn't really want the gig. But Paul seen what God seen with him. So go ahead and turn back with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I really promise I'm going to try to get through the whole chapter. What's interesting right here, and this is just a little fun fact, as you read just the letter of 2 Timothy, there's 36 references to the true gospel and 17 to false teaching. Guys, studying the Word of God is fun. It should not be boring. So I tell these guys, oh, it's boring. I can't get nothing out of it. Well, that's you. Because you're not putting... If you want something, if you want something bad enough, what do? You get it. You know what I'm saying? If you really want that relationship God wants, then guess what? Your responsibility is to do what He tells you to do. To sit and read His Word. To know. I love, because when I study the Word of God, these things start popping out on me. And then I have fun with it. And I start, counting. I'm like, cool. It's like, a cool little game. Keeps me interested in it. Then I learn stuff that I've read already. You see what I'm saying? The Word of God should never be boring, and you should always enjoy it. Because it's a supernatural thing that God has given us to stay in that connection with Him, to continue to abide with Him. So let's look at verses 2 through 5 back in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. That kind of sounds like today, huh? Yeah. The days that we're living in. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful. And this is an exhortation to us, guys. You be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of evangelists. Fulfill your ministry. Whatever ministry God has put you in. And if ministry is your life, wherever He has you in this season, then fulfill it. Honor Him and bring glory to Him in it. Not everyone is an evangelist, but I believe everyone can evangelize. And a lot of times it's to keep your mouth shut and let your life show it. Love is an action word. Mark told me this. 30% of it is, and 70% is the actions and attitude that's coming out of our lives, that reflection that God wants us to have. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2? Be imitators of God. Walk in love. Tearing out, you look all through the Bible. Love, love, love. Well, there must be something to that. But if you can't love one another, then where's your relationship with God? If you can't love one another, then how are you loving God? You know, if you're hating people, what is, the Bible says no. If you hate people, it's like, you know, like murder. So we need to be about what God, we need to be watchful. We shouldn't be so quick. We need to be step back. Okay, this is what's going on in our world. Another hiccup. It was a big hiccup. With the, you know, now it's like it's getting darker because now I found out that if someone comes to me and they're homosexuals and want to get married and I say no, I could get sued. You know what I'm saying? See, but I don't understand. When you go to a restaurant, it says right to refuse anyone. Why can't I have a sign like that? You know what I'm saying? And not get sued. I know, right? Get a t-shirt. But the seriousness, because this opens up a whole new can of worms. And what's happening, we should not be surprised. It's more persecution to the church. And why is this happening? God's filtering. The great apostasy, we're going to see that Paul's going to talk about. What does that mean? The great falling away. It says some of us were with us, but none, they weren't really ours. Some of you guys have been here a while, like me, and we see people come and go. And that's between them and the Lord, but to me, they're a question mark. Or some of them are just straight off into rebellion now. I've watched kids with me 24/7, from 7th grade all the way to senior. And I'm doing everything the Lord wants them to do. But they got to a certain age, distractions, freedoms, opportunities. Now there's a lot of them that they're just totally denouncing the Lord. Want nothing to do with them. I don't know. So what do? I pray, and I'm still there for them. Because they know they can call me or text me, and Pastor Steve will always be there for them. I don't condone what they do. And if these guys know, I'll tell you what's up. But I'll tell you in love. I'm a little brutal. I'm straight up. If you're being stupid, I'll tell you. But I'll say it in love. And I expect you to tell me the same thing. Seriously. We can't really candy coat much, but we do need to be tactful, know your audience, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you in certain situations. And what is that? That's relying on God the way He wants us to rely on Him. Do you guys understand? Everything we go through is just another step, getting closer and closer and closer, abiding closer and closer, and just holding on to Him. Probably going to mess this up, but it really spoke to me this morning. I was teaching it. In chapter 33 of Deuteronomy, basically, Moses is giving his farewell speech to the Israelites, and he basically is pretty much telling the future of each tribe. And he's talking about how God is our safety, and He's going to keep us in His arms between His shoulder blades. And guess where that's at? Right by His heart. Isn't that awesome? How much He loves us. He keeps us so near and dear. Guys, everything and anything you need, you got to go to Him more and more. Some of us have been doing this for a while. Some of us have cooled off. Let me ask the Lord to turn up the burners again, man. You got in chapter 2 of Revelation, what are you talking about to the church of Ephesus? And that's the church that John pastored and all. First John, love, love, love. Well, they were doing all these great things. But they turned away from the first love. And what does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? If it's not motivated by love, what? It's like a annoying noise. It means nothing. You do all these things, be burned at the stake, feed the poor, but if it's not motivated by love, it means nothing. God showed us how to do it. And that's why He came down. He came down in His ministry and showed us and gave us the example on how to walk and how to love. But we can't manufacture this. We don't have the capability until we surrender and ask Him to fill us daily with His Holy Spirit. Because we can do all these things, but then we're laboring in vain. It talks about in Psalm 127. It also talks about, and if I'm quoting these wrong, It happens. Or giving you the wrong, you know, place in the Bible, then tell me later. But I think it's a Zechariah 4:6. It's not by might, but my power, you know, by my spirit, says the Lord. There's something to it. We need to understand Scripture and really take it to heart. It's not by anything that we can do. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that things get done. You can have all the principles of being a parent, being married, or having a friendship, but if it's not empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's going to fail. Do you understand that? And that's not me. The Bible teaches that. And we need to understand that. Guys, it's ready. It's time to step it up and be real for the Lord, because things are so dark. And I tell you right now, the people that I know that they're not saved, but I still love them, I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want them to listen to the lie anymore. I know people who are gay that, you know what? They're not bad people. They're just stuck in a stupid sin. And I'm praying that the Lord will help me to love them out of it. By His power, I'm just the vessel. I'm just the container God wants us to use. But you gotta be willing to do it. You gotta be willing. You know, ministry or life is a ministry of what? Inconvenience. It's that cut. Okay, it's my day off. I'm resting. All of a sudden, get a text message, and it's hardcore. I'm like, oh, Lord, okay. But the Lord allowed me to get that text message. So the Lord wants me to do what He's called me to do. We all have a task at hand, and we need to do it. Guys, let's get out of this attitude that I have to do it. We get to do it. If I didn't, you know, oh, well, I have to die for you. It's like, I'm willing to die for you because I love you. But I love it as He came down as a man. He had all the emotions as a man, but He was God. Did you see that in the Garden of Gethsemane? Where He didn't want to be separated from the Father. He prayed three times. He's like, but Your will be done. Do you know why He did all that? Because it shows us how we are. It's relatable. It says in Hebrews that we have a high priest that sympathized, that's gone through all these things, been tempted all these things, but you know what? Did not sin. So guess what? We have that power too. And that's His Holy Spirit. And we need to rely on that. Let's look at verses 6 through... losing my eyesight. 6 through 9, I believe. 6 through 8. So now here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am ready to be... And this is Paul right now. He's coming to the end of his life, and he knows it. For I am already been poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also all who have loved His appearance. He was not boasting in himself. He's boasting in the Lord because he knew the Lord. He knew the Word. He knew what He was doing and why He was doing it. Some people within the church are so ignorant where they don't really know what they're doing and who they're really serving, because they're not spending adequate time with Him. How can you have a relationship with someone if you don't know them? And how do you know? How do you get to know the Lord? Guys, we need to become students of the Word. Mark will teach that, Bill will teach that, and you're going to get it from me. This is the most important thing we need to do, but it's not all up here. It has to be coming from here. We have to show. This needs to be His outpouring of His love on people. Is there a time of tough love? Oh, yeah. If anybody have kids, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you don't really like, hurts me anymore. You know, Mark shared that one time, and actually it does. It does hurt me more than it hurts them. They don't understand. I don't want to smack my kid. Well, I don't smack my kid, but spank them. He's too old now. Probably hit me. So you take away their cell phones. Social media. That's a killer right there for youth. They're all looking at me like, no. I'll be nice to you guys. I was going to put these guys on blast, but I'll be nice. I don't have time. That's the only reason why. But God will show you how to love and what type of love to show people. But you got to want to really know. You're going to get hurt being vulnerable, putting yourself out there. You're going to get stabbed in the back. Jesus, look at all the stuff that happened to Him. All his best friends bailed on him when they needed him the most. Go pray. What'd they do?
They fell asleep. Thanks, guys.
You know? But did he stop loving them?
No. He knew the task at hand, what he had to do, and he did it. And he went up to the cross. It is finished. Guys, everything we need is in him. But you got to want that more than anything else. We all have desires, goals, that's great. But it has to be led, guided by God's Holy Spirit, and empowered by him also. So right here we see in context, his departure is coming. Paul saw his approaching death as an offering of a sacrifice to God. And we see that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. The ending of a difficult race. If any of you guys have read any of Paul's epistles or his writings, you know that that boy went through a lot. You know, he beaten I don't know how many times. He's probably incarcerated most of his ministry. You know, shipwrecked, you name it. Probably was hungry all the time. Everybody false. I mean, I think one of the biggest things, you're going through the physical, is the mental, huh? When people, you know, get you up there, because it just eats and eats and eats. They did it to him, too, because he's doing what God's called him to do, and everyone is basically, you know, bringing false accusations against him. And he didn't do anything wrong. Who does that remind you of? Jesus. He didn't do anything wrong. But they were blaming him for all these other things. And they ended up murdering him. But guess what? It had to happen. Because it paid for our sins. You know what? Let me back up a little bit. Back to the other verses. Basically, the great falling away. I kind of skipped up. This is important. You know, the apostasy is coming. And it's already came in so many different ways. Indeed, it is now here. The great falling away. Many professed Christians have no ear for the Word of God. They prefer religious entertainment and sermons that will tickle their ears instead of cut their hearts. What does it talk about in Hebrews, how sharp the Word of God is? Think about that. A two-edged sword. I'm not here to entertain or fluff you up. I'm here to preach the Word of God, and whatever God takes it and does to you, that's between you and God. That's why we need to stick to the Word of God. Our testimony is wrong. Some people disagree with it. But I'm just sharing what God has done in my life. The Bible coming out of my life. And giving you my story and how awesome he is. And no matter what you've gone through or what you did, he loves you and he can change you. And he make you a brand new person. If you ever, any of you guys ever knew me back in the day, you totally trip out. Like, whoa, I was a bad man. But God changed me. And gave me a heart for these knuckleheads that I love as my own children. I call them my spiritual kids. You know, and I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't do what I'm doing. We're made to do. We're made to what? Worship him. Serve him. And again, going back to Paul's departure, as it's a difficult race, but he's gaining a glorious crown. Guys, our hope, we have a living hope, and that is Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And our hope is one day to be with him. Stay focused. This is temporal, guys. It's all going to pass away. You know, I shared with the kids this morning, it's like, how many times a situation hits, and we get all flushed or stressed out and start tripping, and we make it worse. But then at the end of the day, it works itself out. Well, God works it out. You know what I'm saying? And then I just wasted all this time of being all tripping, then I'm bitter, then I'm irritable, then I'm mean to my wife, I'm mean to my kids, I'm mean to these guys. You know, but that's unnecessary. If we would just focus on the Lord and allow him, and remember, these things are going to happen, but we need to trust. Verse 9 through 16. Be diligent to come to me quickly. This is Paul speaking. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world and departed from Thessalonica, Sersin and Galatia, Titus and Dalmatia. Verse 11, only Luke is with me. These people were with Paul that once walked with him, bailed. Guys, it happens. Some people think there's something that they're not. But you guys need to know your assurance of salvation. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. You need to know that you know. If something you, and I'm not trying to like put a hex on anybody, but if something happens on the way home, that you know exactly where you're going, that there's no doubt. If something happens to me right now, even though I'm a knucklehead and I'm me, I know where I'm going because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. I have that insurance. I'm not boasting in myself. I'm boasting in Him. Because that's what the Bible says. I don't have to doubt my salvation even when I mess up. Because you know what? If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just what? To forgive us. 1 John 1:9. You need to know the Word. Verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark, and that's the same Mark who wrote the gospel, Mark, and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Titreus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring my cloak that I left at Carpus, at Taurus, when you come, and the books especially with my parchments. Alexandria, the coppersmith, did much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. I love that. Paul's not going to go after and put a hit on him. He said, you know what? God will take care of that. We'll just say, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Do not repay evil with evil, but repay evil with what? Good. All this evil happening now and everyone tripping about this stuff, so easy to slander the homosexuals. But Taryn, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to ask the Lord to give us wisdom to minister to them. I had a kid for almost 6 months. Came to me, very confused guy. Thought he was gay. Never performed any acts, but he just had the tendencies, and you know, and I've over and over and over just ministering and loving on him and stuff, but it just to a point where he had to choose. And he chose to do it his way. But I was open and available, and I loved on him as much as the Lord showed me. But at the end of the day, it's their choice. But you did your part. You did your task. You see what I'm saying? You do your part, and God's going to take care of the rest. Even if you don't see the fruit, even if you don't know what's going to, it doesn't matter. God sees and God knows what's going to happen. Verse 15, you also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it be not charged against them. Whoa. What does that sound like? God forgive them, for they know not what they do. Don't charge them. How could Paul say that? Because he had the heart of God. He seen people the way Christ did. And that compelled him to love people no matter what. He was not so much hung up on just their sins and what they're doing. He was hung up on their souls. He wanted to make sure that they were going to heaven. That's what Paul cared about. And that's what we should care about. Because we can all trip out on different sins and different types of sins and magnitude and repercussions and blah, blah, blah. But it comes down to this. God can take care of it, but you need to do your part. Guys, we're representing the Lord. We need to shine light in this dark place and do it effectively and efficiently. Verse 17, but the Lord stood, I love this part. So everyone bailed on him, not charging, but check this out. He knew where his strength came from, verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of, I can't even pronounce that name. Verse 20, Epaphras stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus have left me and Miletus that's sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you. I know I'm messing up these names horrible, but forgive me. Greet you as well as Puddins and all these other names and the brethren. And then verse 22, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Now check this out, guys.
He's asking for help in his coming. Paul was greatly disappointed when the people he had ministered to turned away from him and were ashamed of his bonds. He asked Timothy to come as soon as possible to bring Mark with him. The best of all, the Lord came to Paul and encouraged him. No matter what his people may do, Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. Guys, that's a promise. But guys, we got to not waste opportunities just because we're going through it. Because I tell you now, when we're going through it, got even more opportunities. You know what I'm saying? When Paul was going through all the garbage, he looked at more opportunities to get the gospel out. And that should be our heart. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to do the work that you started, as it talks about, that you will finish your work in Philippians 1:6. Lord, that you would just continue to work in each of us until we go home, until you come for your church. That, Lord, that we would continue to walk in your love, that we'd be imitators of your love, that we'd be tactful, that you would give us wisdom on how to combat and defeat this darkness that we are living in this world. It's getting darker and darker and darker. But Lord, help us, through the power of your Spirit, shine brighter, brighter, and brighter. So Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. If you need prayer, prayer room is open. Guys, open the door. So, thank you guys.